Welcome. Well, sisters, in the weeks to come, we are going to be spending a lot of time on specifics, on the wonderful atoning sacrifice of our love. But today, I want you to take off your shoes right now because we're on sacred ground. Today, we're just going to take a few moments and remember the love of our Heavenly Father in giving us His very best boy. So I just want you to sit back, relax, and enjoy. Today we're going to be privileged to hear from two of our wonderful sister missionaries who are leaving in the next day and the next month. Adelaide Christensen will be bearing her testimony today about the Savior. She goes into the MTC in the morning, leaving for Sweden, Stockholm. Love her. Her farewell was last Sunday, and it was just awesome. She's one of the most prepared missionaries I've ever met. Samantha Jameson of our state, where's Jamila? There she is in the back, of the Second Ward, is leaving for the Peru Lima Mission, May 27th. She will also be sharing her testimony at some point during this. I just don't want to have to get up and announce every single thing, but they will be sharing their testimonies. To our right is the beautiful young missionaries. To our left is the lovely young singers. Sue Ann Turley Oliphant is in the orange, and she is my wonderful cousin who has just an angelic voice, and she is here to sing His Hands at a point during our time today. Seated next to her is Emma Winder, who is my little brother Chris's love. And she has a wonderful, beautiful voice, and she is going to be singing How Great Thou Art. Just also ahead, where's Erica? Erica will be playing, Erica Kent of the 8th Ward will be playing for Sue Ann. So with that in mind, sisters, my hope is that as we're going through these wonderful moments, the last moments of our Savior's life here on the earth, that you will remember two things. That all of this was done for you. All of this was done so that right now, whatever is heavy right now in your life, you would have hope. And hope is the very best thing, I think, in all the world. Because with hope, you're empowered. With hope, you feel like you can do it. All this was done so you would have hope here, and all of it was done so we could come home. And the second thing to remember as we're going through all these things, and what I wanted to make the most emphasis on just today, we'll spend specifics on the garden, the cross, and the resurrection in the coming weeks. But to keep in your mind our Heavenly Father's role in these wonderful events, His undying love for you, His loyal love for you, as He gave you His very best boy. Would you look up here?
The blessing of the atonement of our Lord and Savior is that each of us has the privilege of enjoying immortality and eternal life. Elder L. Tom Perry.
Thank you. capo cattedrale. Non coronemo credo il regato da me.
Thank you.
Sisters, I don't know what you're doing this Thursday. I always hate the fact that spring break is right over Easter. It's one of my little pet peeves. Hopefully we're doing this all year, but I hope on Thursday you're reminding your children just what will happen that day. That our wonderful Savior will, of his own free will, go into Gethsemane and go through all the things that they're going to go through. And I don't know what you're doing on Friday, but I hope you won't let that day go by before you remind your children and even read about it, the incredible crucifixion of our love. And I don't know what you're doing on Sunday, where you'll be, but please don't let that day go by that you don't talk about the glorious resurrection of our love. Neil Maxwell made these comments. He said, "The more we study, pray, and ponder the awesome atonement, the more we are willing to acknowledge that we are in His and the Father's hands. Let us ponder, therefore, these final things. When the unimaginable burden began to weigh upon the Christ, it confirmed His long-held and intellectually clear understanding as to what He must now do. His working through began, and Jesus declared, 'Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour?' Then, whether in spiritual soliloquy or by way of instruction to those about him, he observed, 'But for this cause came I into this hour.' In Gethsemane with the suffering, Jesus began to be sore amazed, or in the Greek, awestruck, astonished. Imagine Jehovah, the creator of this and other worlds, astonished. Jesus knew cognitively, he knew in his mind, what he must do, but not experientially. He had never personally known the exquisite and exacting process of an atonement before. Thus, when the agony came in its fullness, it was so much, much more worse than even he, with his unique intellect, had ever imagined. Remember from his own lips in the Doctrine and Covenants, he said he bled from every pore and he trembled because of his pain." Elder Maxwell continues, "The cumulative weight of all mortal sins, past, present, and future, pressed upon that perfect, sinless, and sensitive soul. All of our infirmities, all the stuff that we have going on right now in our lives that are heavy, everything. That's the great news about the atonement, you guys. It's not just for our sins. It's for all the stuff that is so hard in this life. And a lot of that stuff is not of our own doing. A lot of stuff is just because life's hard and we live in a fallen world. But whatever right now is in your backpack that's heavy, he felt it. And not symbolically, but intimately. He saw you. He knows your stuff. All of our infirmities and sicknesses were somehow too a part of the awful arithmetic of the atonement. The anguished Jesus not only pled with the Father that the hour and cup might pass from him, but with this relevant citation, he said, 'Abba, Father, all things are possible to thee. Take away this cup from me.'" And we've talked about that word, Abba. Elder Holland made this comment about that particular phrase that the Savior chose to use. He said, this is from Elder Holland, "In that most burdensome moment of all human history, with blood appearing at every pore and an anguished cry upon his lips, Christ sought him whom he had always sought, his Father. 'Abba,' he cried, 'Papa.' Or from the lips of a young child, it would have been 'Daddy.' This is such a personal moment, it almost seems a sacrilege to cite it. A son in unrelieved pain, a father, his only true source of strength, both of them staying the course and making it through the night together." Elder Maxwell continues, "His suffering, as it were, enormity multiplied by infinity, evoked his later soul cry on the cross, and it was a cry of forsakenness. Even so, Jesus maintained his sublime submissiveness as he had in Gethsemane. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And you know, you guys, I was just thinking about that this week. I was thinking about, there's lots of, you know, the manner in which someone gives up their will, I think matters, you know? I mean, you have someone, I give, you know, in an arm wrestle. I give, you win, you know, that type of thing. Or you kind of give up your will in anger. Okay, you know, do it your way. You give up your will without hope. That's not how the Savior gave up his will. That's what's so amazing. He gave up his will to his Father with utter love and trust. Because he knew whatever way his Father needed him to go was the right and the sure way. And I don't think we can forget that, because there's a lot of ways we can give up our will. But the Savior's way was so sweet and so perfect and so amazing. While bearing our sins, our infirmities, and our sicknesses, and bringing to pass the atonement, Jesus became the perfect shepherd, making these lines of Paul's especially relevant and reassuring. Who shall separate you from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Distress? Peril? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Indeed, we are in his hands. And what hallowed hands! The wondrous and glorious atonement is the central act in all human history. And sisters, really, why do we want to talk about anything else? And especially at this Easter time, may we remember that we are in his sweet, wonderful, gentle hands. So, there we go.
His hands, tools of creation, stronger than nations, power without end, and yet through them we find our truest friend. His hands, sermons of kindness, healing blindness, halting years of pain, children waiting to be held again. His hands would serve his whole life through, showing man what hands might do, giving, ever giving. And I'll not rest till I make of my hands what they could be. Till these hands become like those of Galilee. His hands warming a beggar, lifting a leper, calling back the dead, breaking bread, 5,000 fed. His hands hushing contention, pointing to heaven, ever free of sin. then bidding man to follow him. His hands would serve his whole life through, showing man what hands might do. Till I make of my hands what they could be, till these hands become like those of Galilee. His hands clasp in agony as he lay pleading, bleeding in the garden, while just moments away other hands betray him out of greed, shameful greed. And then his hands are trembling, straining to carry the beam that they'd be nailed to, as he stumbles through the streets, heading for the hill on which he'd die. He would die. Selflessness, and clearly now I see him with his hands calling to me. And though I'm not yet as thou would be, he has shown me how I could be.
Thanks, Sid. Erica. You'll notice, sisters, we have these wonderful pictures of the atonement up. We have Gethsemane. We just talked a little bit about that. We'll spend a lot more time in the next coming weeks. But you know, Elder Maxwell makes this comment. He calls it the awful arithmetic of the atonement. And when we talk about the atonement, we're in essence talking about these three places. Gethsemane, and then onto the cross, and then the triumphal resurrection at the Garden Tomb. But there's things in between that are all part of the process of the atonement, and I think it's so important that we just touch on those. Again, we'll touch on them more specifically later, but just to have in your mind, especially as you're teaching your children, and as you're wanting to come closer to the Savior, to remember what goes on during this time. You know, we talked about what happened during the upper room and the passing of the sacrament a couple weeks ago, and the stress with his apostles, and knowing that Peter's going to deny him, knowing that Judas is going to betray him, and how heavy that felt for him. Well, now it actually happens. And it happens after he's already borne all of our stuff in Gethsemane. So he gets up out of Gethsemane, and Judas, one of his very best friends, betrays him. And he's shepherded off, and we won't go through all the process, but he'll be shepherded off to Herod and to Caiaphas and to Caesar. And in the midst of all of this, he knows that his very best friend in all the world, Peter, is denying him. Our kids need to know that, you know. They need to know that when they're having friend issues, our Savior knows. And how wonderful that is that they can look to him. So in the midst of all that, he's feeling that. In fact, Mark says that they all forsook him and fled. The only one that remained vigilant with him is our wonderful Heavenly Father. So he's mocked, he's beaten, he's spit on. We'll talk about the trial, I'm sure, in length, an unfair trial. They use the word if all the time. If you're the Son of God, that word that Satan used in the temptations, that if. And through all of it, our Savior is in complete control and dignified because of his love for you and his love for our Father. Well, after all this, they strip him and they scourge him with not a nice whip, but a whip that would be ingrained with a lot of stuff that would literally rip his back. This is after all of Gethsemane. Then they would take a crown of thorns and just shove it on his head. Then he would have to carry his cross, the same cross that he will be nailed to. And then we get to the cross itself. And we get to the crucifixion. And sometimes as Mormons, I've never really understood it, we don't put a lot of focus on the cross. I think the cross is awesome. Yeah, he suffered for all of our stuff in Gethsemane, and that is awesome. But you know what happened on the cross? Elder Talmadge and Elder McConkie say that all of Gethsemane came back while he was on the cross. I love the cross. Because it's there, while all of Gethsemane is back, that the most amazing act of Christ-like love occurs. Because our Heavenly Father, the only time in the whole process, will withdraw his Spirit. And he will know at that moment what it will do to his boy. But he does it, you guys, because he loves you. And he knew that that was the only way that the law of justice could be satisfied, that Jesus really could now descend below all things. Imagine what that did to the Savior when, for the first time, his Father's Spirit is gone. Elder Maxwell made these two comments that I just thought were so cool that I wanted to share with you. He said, Jesus bore the fierceness of the wrath of the Almighty God, so mercy can now drench the plan of happiness. None were with him for these final few moments as he hung on the cross. You should have all received as my gift to you a talk by Elder Holland called None Were With Him. If you didn't get one, would you raise your hand right now and Jamela will get you one, and then would you look up here.
I speak of the Savior's solitary task of shouldering alone the burden of our salvation. I speak of those final moments for which Jesus must have been prepared intellectually and physically, but which he may not have fully anticipated emotionally and spiritually. That concluding descent
into the paralyzing despair of divine withdrawal when he cries in ultimate loneliness, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Thus, of divine necessity, the supporting circle around Jesus gets smaller and smaller and smaller. Essentially, his lonely journey back to his Father continued without comfort or companionship. It was required, indeed it was central to the significance of the atonement, that this perfect Son, who had never spoken ill, nor done wrong, nor touched an unclean thing, he had to know how the rest of humankind would feel, us, the rest of us. Then finally and mercifully, it was finished. Against all odds, and with none to help or uphold him, Jesus of Nazareth, the living Son of the living God, restored physical life where death had held sway, and brought joyful spiritual redemption out of sin and hellish darkness and despair. One of the great consolations of this Easter season is that because Jesus walked such a long, lonely path, utterly alone, we do not have to do so as we approach this Holy Week, Passover Thursday, with its Paschal Lamb, Atoning Friday with its cross, Resurrection Sunday with its empty tomb. May we declare ourselves to be more fully disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, not in word only, and not in the flush of comfortable times, but in deed and in courage and in faith. May we stand by Jesus Christ at all times and in all things and in all places that we may be in, even until death. For surely that is how he stood by us when it was unto death, and when he had to stand entirely and utterly alone. In the sacred name of Jesus Christ, amen.
If you look on this talk at the back page, even though Elder Holland read some of that, showed some of that, I just wanted to read a couple of things. Second to the last paragraph. Brothers and sisters, one of the great consolations of this Easter season is that because Jesus walked such a long, lonely path, utterly alone, we do not have to do so. His solitary journey brought great company for our little version of that path. The merciful care of a Father in heaven, the unfailing companionship of this beloved Son, the consummate gift of the Holy Ghost, angels in heaven, family members on both sides of the veil, prophets, apostles, teachers, leaders, friends, all of these and more have been given as companions for our mortal journey because of the atonement of Jesus Christ and the restoration of his gospel. Trumpeted from the summit of Calvary is the truth that we will never be left alone, nor unaided. Even if sometimes we may feel that we are, Truly, the Redeemer of us all has said, I will not leave you comfortless. My Father and I will come to you and abide with you. This is the good news that Adelaide and Samantha are going to take to the world. This is the good news of the gospel, that we have a Heavenly Father that loves us. And you know what? My whole life has changed because of this event. And it is an event. It is something that happened. It's not some symbolic thing that is, ooh. It's a real event. It was intimate. It was for you. And because of that, there's now no barriers set up anymore between me and my boys and my Heavenly Father. I can approach Him with peace and comfort because I know He wants me to be with Him. I, you, we are His work and His glory. We're everything to Him. And this is the good news that Samantha and Adelaide are going to share. I'll now turn a few moments over to Samantha and then to Adelaide, and then we'll hear from Emma, how great thou art.
Sorry, I wrote this down so I wouldn't cry. Sorry, a couple months ago, my sister's on a mission right now, and she wrote home in one of her letters that the Savior at different points in our life will have many different roles to us. He's our teacher and our example, our friend above all else. Sorry. When I started to think about how I could describe what Christ means to me, I kept thinking, that I wish I had more elegant words to tell you. How deeply I love Him. Because the love and appreciation that I have for Him is so deep and so embedded in me that sometimes I feel like hard to let those words escape from you because they're so dear. So what I came up with and what I feel like I need to tell you is that I know how much He loves us and loves me. And fills every fear that I have and every happiness that I have. And He cries with me when I cry, and that's a lot lately. Something that I've found recently with preparing to go on a mission is that this has been the hardest decision I've ever made. And sometimes I feel bad about that because I watched my sister leave and she made it look so easy. And I feel like my mom keeps telling me that I just didn't see this side that was hard for her. But what I have to keep remembering is that my greatest hopes and are the things that He wants for me, and your greatest hopes are the things that He wants for you too. And that He's always willing to give to us. There's nothing that He won't give for us. He gave us the biggest sacrifice. He gave His life so we could return. I feel like with the atonement, I start to think that I am gaining this understanding of it. And then I learn something else and my mind's just blown by it again. And I think that's something that's so beautiful about it is that it's never ending, and the knowledge that we can gain of it is never ending. But some of the things that I feel like I have learned, that it's miraculous and it's so powerful. We use it every day, and I think that I neglect to use it a lot of the time because I feel like it's something that needs to be used in these big situations, but it's not. It's something that we've been given as a gift that we just need to take advantage of. When we take advantage of it, it clears our heads and it opens our eyes and it helps us remember things that we have forgotten and helps us learn things that we may have never known. This last Sunday in church, we were singing, I know that my Redeemer lives. And I've never found so much peace in a song before as in that last sentence that says, oh sweet, the joy this comfort gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. I just want to testify that he's there and he holds our hand, and when we allow him the opportunity, not only does he walk with us, but he takes our hand and guides us. We just need to allow him to be able to do that. I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Sisters, I am so grateful to have this opportunity to bear my testimony of my Savior to you. Tomorrow to serve my Savior and my Heavenly Father as I serve the people of Sweden. And I am so excited and feel prepared and know that this is what I should be doing. I had prepared something to tell you last night, but this morning I woke up feeling that it was not what I needed to share today. I received a text from one of my friends saying that she had not made cheer. She is still in high school and she found out she didn't make cheer today, and it brought back the feelings of when I didn't make SBO dance company or cheer within the same week, and how alone I felt. And Diane gave me this talk at the end of my junior year by Elder Maxwell that says, though stretched by our challenges, by living righteously and enduring well, we can eventually become sufficiently more like Jesus in our trials and attributes, that one day we can dwell in the Father's presence forever and ever. He then says, while so striving daily, we will fall short. Hence, the avoidance of discouragement is so vital. So where is the oft and much needed resilience to be found? Once again, in the glorious atonement. Thereby, we can know that the lifting tide flowing from forgiveness. Our Savior's love is so beautiful and perfect. And when I have felt alone and I decide to turn to him, I have been overwhelmed with joy and gratitude that he is my savior and that he wants to go through things with me, that he wants to do this with me. And just watching that video and seeing how he went through everything alone, and that I will be going on this journey without my family, but that I will be able to have my savior to turn to, and that he will be with me at all times. I'm so grateful for that and for this gospel. I'm so grateful for Christ's love and for his atoning sacrifice, and I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Sings my song.
great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
He's not here. He's risen. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. God be thanked for the matchless gift of his divine Son. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.